Forge of Creation, written by Black Cat and read by K-Burb. This is a Clone Wars fic, rated teen and up audiences, in which no archive warnings apply. It features the characters of Commander Colt and Neo. Additional tags include alternate universe, canon divergence, ghost, magical realism, Tong species, Tong clones, and metalworking. This is part two of Forge Fire. Down in the bowels of the Jedi Temple, deep beneath one of the wild gardens, there's a hot, heavy darkness, cut through with the sound of hammers on metal, and Colt has never been so entranced by anything since the day he was decanted. It's possible, probable, that he shouldn't be down here, shouldn't have slipped away from the hall outside the council chambers while General T is in a meeting, but he couldn't help himself. Blitz and Hammer are up there still, in case she needs them, and Colt was ostensibly walking Havoc to the Halls of Healing to see how the Jedi healers work, but this place isn't anywhere near the halls. Colt isn't immediately needed for anything, and that's a rare experience in the middle of war. Indulging it like this might be wrong, but it's hard to care when there are shadows of Smiths flickering and dancing on the mural-covered walls, like living things entirely apart from the Jedi working the forges. Colt itches with the need to get closer, to actually see the forging, and he risks a glance over his shoulder, checking that the hallway is still clear, then turns. Collides, hard, with a body out of armor, and hisses as he's knocked back a step, his sore shoulder suddenly making itself known again. He snaps a hand up to it, takes another step back to be safe, and says sharply, "What the hell?" Looking just as startled, Neo takes a step back as well, then pauses. He raises a brow, gaze sweeping up and down over Colt, and asks, "Why do you look like one of the trainers just caught you in the hangar after lights out?" Colt flushes, hot to the tips of his ears. It's been a long time since he was any sort of cadet. Hells, he helped train most of the cadets. And Neo's not anywhere close to being an Alpha Batch clone. The only ones who can give Colt grief are his batchmates. "Commander," he says, pointed, and folds his arms over his chest, ignoring the twinge the motion causes. "No, from experience, then." Neo rolls his eyes. "I was with General Windu," he says, faintly grumpy in a way that's fully an admission of embarrassment, even if he doesn't want to show it. "He came down to talk to one of the Smiths about supply issues." "As you were, then," Colt says, bland. And Neo snorts but slides past Colt with the speed of a former trainee, trying to avoid having to run extra laps. A little amused, Colt watches him go, then turns back. Pauses, startled, as something shimmers and catches the light, sliding over his armor like liquid and disappearing beneath the cuff of his blacks. It seems like a trick of the light, but something feels uneasy. Colt stares for a second, then strips off his gauntlet with quick motions, finds the cuff of the blacks, and tugs it back as best as he can, then stops. Stares, a shiver washing down his spine, at the sight of a spill of pearl-like brilliance sliding down his arm, liquid but still. When he presses his fingertips to it, it feels slick, warm like flesh, with no pain to its presence even though it looks like it's bonded to his skin. Something prickles, alarm and a sharper emotion, and Colt turns, catches sight of Neo just rounding the distant corner. Just a coincidence, maybe, but... A shadow moves, and Colt turns back sharply, pulse leaping. There's no one approaching, though, just a door halfway down the hall that swung open. Copper inlays catching the light and seeming to dance. No one is emerging, and after a second, Colt moves forward, not sure if he's worried that someone could be hurt or simply curious. Rubbing at the pearlescent spill down his arm, he leans in, then pauses. It's a forge, entirely empty of any Jedi or the droid professor Colt met in passing. The cryo furnace is lit, filling the air with heat, and there are tools resting on the anvil, as if they're just waiting for hands to take them up. Colt curls his fingers around the edge of the door, feeling like there's a hook behind his ribs, dragging him forward. The Wunt has teeth, and he stares at those tools, at the pile of metal cubes resting beside the forge, a larger one that's set apart from the rest. He could make something, he thinks, and it's a little like a surge of madness, a little like a heady rush of joy. He could make a warhammer, or a spear, or an axe. He could create something out of those cold blocks of metal, and it would just take time and effort and skill. Colt's been a soldier since the moment he was decanted, focused on destroying. The urge to create something is unfamiliar, but desperate. The first step into the workshop feels forbidden, like he's breaking the rules. Colt does it anyway, even though rule-breaking is what gets clones decommissioned or sent for re-education. He's alone here, though, and when he swings the door shut after himself, it feels like handing the whole universe a dare. As the lock clicks home, the forge fire leaps higher, shimmers. For an instant, there are shadows dancing on the walls. Not Jedi Smiths, but something else entirely. Huge figures in armor, in familiar helmets, wielding hammers with an entirely different sort of skill than the Jedi. Colt can almost see them. Human-like, but not human. Shadows from somewhere, some when else entirely. One of the shadows turns to look at him, a simian figure with gray skin and yellow eyes that fall to meet Colt's. He's holding a gravity hammer, slick with the look of pure Beskar. And when Colt goes perfectly, breathlessly still, he smiles.
Grandson,
he says, and it echoes like thunder trapped underground.
Come.
Colt goes. There's no other option. Hours later, Colt wakes to the sound of his comm beeping, missed transmissions flashing red. He stripped off his armor at some point, left it piled at the edge of the work area, and there's a new burn on his arm that he doesn't remember getting. Suit smeared across the bright, shining pearl stitched into his skin. There's a hammer, too. Something huge and heavy and fit for a Mandalore to carry. Unfamiliar but so deeply known that Colt can feel the shape of it in his bones. His head is spinning, but he takes it up, still warm from the forge, feels it resonate like a vast roar come down through history, wrapped up inside of him and forgotten for far too long. The forge fire is still burning, and there's more metal waiting to be shaped. The warhammer isn't his, but Colt made it. Colt made it. And it will find the hands it's meant for. The End. This was recorded for Padoween 2024 for the prompt Dream, as well as a treat for Baskets, who requested ghosts in some sort of capacity. Thank you for listening.